What's up, Internet? It is once again time for the Making Geeks podcast, a podcast for makers, dads, and geeks. This is episode 177, and we have a pretty cool episode here for you this week because we're doing a live hangout with a bunch of our listeners, and I don't know, let's see who's here. So I'm here. We got Josh.
I'm here.
Wes.
Hello.
And I guess everybody else can kind of take turns saying who they are and their channel.
I'm Corey.
I'm Nicole with When Geeks Craft, and Turi is back there. He's also from When Geeks Craft.
Donovan's here working on his microphone.
He's going to get it. He's so determined. We're all going to clap. Oh, he went away. Never mind. He ran out. I thought I was praising his valiant effort, but
we also have Clint from C3D Prop Shop in there as well.
And I'm Seth, and I don't have anything special.
What's up?
I beg to differ.
Just Instagram.
Those are our two previous reigning Patreon reward
alumni
captains.
Yep, that's true.
So how are you guys doing?
You hang out at a bar in a hotel and they lose your seat.
So how's everybody doing? This is almost week two or end of week two?
This is week three for me. And it's going great.
Yeah.
I think my mic's been off this whole time.
It has.
Yeah, yep, here he is. There you are. There's Clint.
Hello.
Hey, buddy.
Hello. I can't see anybody's pictures, but I'm going to blame that on my phone. So.
That works.
Yeah, it works.
Are we blaming Donovan's mic not working on your phone, too? Is that what's happening?
I'll take it.
What have you guys been up to, Josh?
I have no idea what day it is.
Preach.
Preach it. Where's my hanky?
We had a video come out today, so I'm pretty sure it's Thursday.
Yep.
But then next week, all that's getting thrown off because we're doing different stuff. But yeah, a very interesting thing about putting out, we did a Between the Builds video of all the behind-the-scenes stuff when we went to Chicago to hang out with Rob Scallon and deliver that cool guitar.
That video was awesome, by the way.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Anthony edited that. He does a fantastic job at those videos. But a real fun thing right now in the world, I'm not sure if you guys know about this, there's a social distancing thing happening where we're not supposed to be around other people. Are you aware of this?
No.
Right. Actually, no, because we're not doing anything here different at all.
Well, when you put out a video, pretty much a travel vlog where we hang out with people and go to the store and touch a whole bunch of stuff, people freak out because that's not the way you do things now. The whole world is different. It was like, well, this was shot in February. Please calm down. You're not going to die. We're not going to die. So that was fun. It was a fun video and a very in the now response. Overall, the response has been really good, but like those points about like how dare you guys should be at your house. We're like, we are at our house. I'm answering you from like my sequestered tiny secret office where no one else knows where I am. Like I'm quarantined. Believe me.
And they're saying this with like no sense of humor or sarcasm, right?
It doesn't seem like it. But I know we were speaking amongst each other. We're like, you remember when you could just go to a store and touch stuff?
Remember when you could lick your neighbor's mail and not get them upset at you?
I miss licking doorknobs, guys. I really do.
Yeah, as long as you keep your own doorknob.
The good old days. Sean, what have you been up to, sir? You've been grading papers? Digital paper? It's not even papers. You can't call them papers anymore.
Wow. Grading bits?
I'm mainly looking for interaction. Are people even checking in and seeing what I'm posting? I've been live streaming almost every day for 2 weeks now, posting lessons, trying to be positive, you know, stay in contact. Part of it is like just general concern for, you know, students' well-being and trying to pretend like I have a whole audience out there listening and caring about their learning, which Most of them do, but then there's like a small portion of them just, I think, I've already kind of checked out for the year. I'll probably know a little bit more tomorrow of how the rest of the year is going to go, because I have an admin meeting tomorrow, and that's really about it. Because, you know, the computer science class that I teach hasn't really changed that much, because a lot of it's, you know, it's all done on the computer anyways. It's just now that they're able to follow along with the lessons and hopefully still make a little bit of progress, although I'm not pushing as fast as I normally would. The animation class is the really awkward one, because, you know, 90% of my students don't have access to a computer that's good enough to run any animation software. So I'm giving general drawing assignments and having them try to, you know, take a picture and post online, which is working, but there's not a whole lot of progress to be had there. So it's mainly an attempt to make sure they're not losing the skill or progress they've made so far. That's how it's been going.
And how is this going to, like, work against the kids overall? Like, are they going to... Is this year basically a wash for most of your students? And the curriculum, at least?
Maybe in some of the classes. But luckily enough, this comes at a point in the year where we might only be... Well, from my point of view, we might only be losing, like, 2 real weeks of actual progress. And that's usually because right after spring break... it's usually like testing season with AP testing, SAT testing, and then state testing. So mm-hmm. there isn't a whole lot of new content that's getting introduced anyways. So I don't think there's as much lost as what a lot of other people might think, at least on the high school level. Elementary school and junior high, they're different. I can't really speak for them. Mm-hmm. On the high school level, I don't think it's as bad. But I know the seniors are kind of beside themselves. But the colleges that have already accepted students and are going to be looking at applications are going to have to take all this into account.
Right.
Which means that most of their acceptances are going to all have to be based off of first semester grades.
Yeah.
Which may not be very good for some of them, but I mean, that's kind of on Ooh. Them.
My academic prowess, while it was very good, was based on the law of averages. Like, I knew at the end of all of that where I could end up. And so if you cut that in half... Like, ooh, my academic career may have turned out a little different.
I was one of those students that was overprepared for everything, so I was, like, already accepted to school before my senior year. And my senior year didn't matter. I took mostly study halls. So I feel for these kids because it sucks, but hopefully they were prepared.
I just had an idea for a future episode. We should, at least the four of us, we should all take the SATs right now.
That's a wonderful idea. Or the ACT,
and see how we do.
I would do pretty good, except for math.
I got a 21, a 20, and then a 19 3 times in a row. Went down each time.
I've never taken it.
I fell asleep during my SAT and still scored 1,200.
We didn't have to do SAT, so I have no idea what the normal score is.
Yeah, we should take the ACT.
And the ASVAB. For good measure.
You guys should take an ASVAB.
I passed that too.
I have no idea what an ASVAB is.
I don't know what an ASVAB is either.
It is the Armed Service Vocational Aptitude and Battery Test.
Gotcha. Yes. It's an Army thing. Got it.
Yeah. No, it is military.
It's all branches.
Except now they've expanded it just to... for all students to take, regardless of the military, to show you what your strengths are. And that's their new marketing ploy for it.
So the sample question on the very first section is, which one of these things is a living thing? A rock? The moon? A tree? Or a shoe? And then you get to take the test. How many sides does a square have? I remember that one.
Yeah.
Is this a real test?
Yes. Yeah.
There's something about, like, cranking wrenches, too. Like,
yeah, there's...
turn this nut a certain direction.
There's a lot of gears and things.
It has
many different... Yeah, it has many different areas. And depending on how you score in each one of those areas, you are either fit for certain jobs or you are not. And... Yeah. If you score over a certain score, then you can just, like, yeah, you can have whatever job you want because you're obviously not a complete moron. Or if you don't do really well, they're like, oh, man, you should totally be a cook.
You're also totally a painting
a truck driver.
Isn't the cook, like, the worst job?
Painting a ship when you dangle over the side is pretty bad.
I was supposed to go into the Navy as an electrical engineer, but got disqualified because of my foot, but I'd passed everything else to get in.
What's wrong with your
foot? I got like high 80s and then decided it'd be a good idea to go blow stuff up, so.
I went for one job. I went, this is the only job that I'm willing to do. And they go, okay, you can have that. I'm like, we can continue this conversation. They go, well, if you fail out of that, you have to be a truck driver. No, no. No, no, I will not fail.
Yeah,
we should take the ASVAB and the ACT. That's a fine idea.
Yeah, I took the ASVAB and scored in the high, I forget what the actual number was. It was in the high 90s. And I got elected to take a separate test to join like the Navy nuclear program where you actually go like on a sub.
I had that option too, yeah.
And I took it, and calculus-y stuff has never been my strongest suit. So I'm actually fortunate I didn't pass that, because I think that would have been a completely different experience, and I think I would have hated it. And I'm glad I went with my original choice, which was like aviation electronics, which turned out being a benefit in ways I could not have anticipated. So,
submarines. I went on a submarine a couple times, and it was a like a big boomer sub, and they had some of those nuke guys. And actually, a lot of them are D&D fanatics.
Yeah, they're special.
A lot of them are like they're D&D people because they don't go to like all the, you know, a lady in every port kind of like port call kind of thing. They're under the water for like months at a time, super bored. And so a lot of them, I remember this one guy showed me his like D&D and a couple other board games they all had set up on the boat.
Yeah,
they're all pretty happy.
Three different character sheets over here.
I mean, they also have to wear sneakers when running around in there too, so it's kind of a different experience.
How about everybody else? We haven't really heard from everybody yet for how they've been doing the last 2 weeks.
Well, so I've been 3D printing some stuff. Joseph Prusa designed a face shield component that can be like a DIY version that a lot of different organizations have been collecting across the world. And there's a group called Operation Shields Up, which is founded by some 3D printing members of the community out in California. But they're also like an example of what you can do in different regionalities to sort of impact your local hospitals and stuff. So they're collecting, all you have to do is just send in the visor components, the 3D printed components, and they have like the clear face shield part already lasered, and they're doing all the disinfectant stuff. They have CDC guidelines that they're following, and all the stuff they take in, they're treating it as if it's like COVID exposed. So they're doing the rinsing process and everything, and then disseminating them out. They've been approved in that area, somewhere in California. So it's got Operation Shields Up, and there's also Matter Hackers has a thing where you can sign up and say what kind of printers you have, and they'll try to match you with people and other organizations that are local to your community that have a need that you can fit. So I'm interested to see where that goes as well. So it's cool to have like a rallying kind of cry to get behind. Usually I usually don't participate in a lot of those things like I might should do in the past, but this one I feel like I have a vested interest in, and that actually know something about this, so I'm going to give it a shot. And I also had a ton of PETG filament in a bin that I really don't use that much, and it's a good excuse to use it. So I've printed, just today I've printed about 10 of them, and I should get a shipment for my second printer. And I think George, who just joined, is also in the local maker group with me, the Triangle Area Makers. We're going to try to rally our local troops and see how many people we can get sending printed stuff out. So it's a good use of our time, I think, at this point.
That's really cool.
Have any of you tried printing the molded face mask yet? Sorry.
Who's next?
Corey, what are you doing? There you go.
You're muted.
Yeah. Am I up? Is that what's happening? I've just, I am actually, I'm still working. I'm considered essential. I repair medical equipment actually in laboratories. So we are deemed by the hospital and all the states that we have to have travel access and travel privileges and things like that. So we actually just got from my boss this morning or late last night, I think, documentation like from our lawyers to actually like official documents like, hey, I am allowed to travel. Company's based out of Ohio. I'm in Virginia. But in Ohio, they have a shelter in place laws in place right now. So they're actually not allowed to travel for the most part out there. So anyways, but we're super slow right now. So I've not actually had any appointments or any jobs for the last week. So I've been sitting at home playing Minecraft and trying to not go crazy, trying to do some spring cleaning stuff and, you know, be a little more, you know, proactive about, you know, making my house better and everything like that. But I end up going a little stir crazy doing stuff like that. I just did a little plumbing repair in the bathroom the other day and, When I finished it up, didn't have any leaks, went downstairs, ate dinner, came back upstairs to the sound of water hitting the floor, and was like, oh no! There was like an inch of water in my bathroom. It's like, this is terrible. Like, so now all of my towels are wet. but, so, you know, not a whole lot very interesting going on, I guess, other than almost flooding my home.
No big deal.
Right?
Yeah, we've also been deemed essential at my work. I do custom furniture for nursing homes, but we've basically switched to front lines, like sending materials to nursing homes, like masks and gloves and other PPE things. My team has completely switched to doing that. So I'm basically just sending bulk shipments of whatever I can find at a warehouse to send to these nursing homes to make sure they have all the materials they need. So work's actually been pretty crazy this week. Wow. But other than that, we got a sword coming out. We finished a Zelda sword this week. And it is awesome.
It is awesome. And what channel can people find your stuff at to look at it?
When Geeks Craft.
Sweet. Which sword?
The Thunderblade.
Nice.
It lights up and it makes electric noises and everything.
Awesome.
Yeah. It's pretty dope.
It is really awesome. That was really great to see.
Yeah.
I remember I showed Anthony, the cameraman I like to make stuff, and he's a huge Zelda fan, and he immediately fell in love with everything you guys were doing.
I love Anthony. He's perfect. He's so funny. He talks to us a lot now.
He's a chatty guy. He's good people.
Seth, what have you been up
what
to?
What else? There you go.
Yeah, I'm essential too, apparently. I work in the pharmaceuticals. I do calibration and maintenance on the laboratory equipment. So, Cara, we're going to have to talk later. but
yeah, absolutely.
So, apparently they keep making drugs. So, keeping me busy, but most people still there. They sent managers and a few other people that could work remotely home, but not me. But the wife's at home. She's got the kids. She's doing the whole homeschool stuff with them. So she's normally an art teacher, part-time art teacher. So at the school that they go to. So she's home anyways. So that makes it a little bit easier. But for me, basically keeping on.
Yeah. So.
But making wise and whatnot, I've been working on my shop. I've been remodeling. Finally got a miter saw station basically done. So
cool.
Since I got that done, and then I got a new table saw since my motor died, and I decided to buy a new motor. It's more than I've spent on the saw originally. I might as well buy something a little bit newer and up to date. So I don't have much excuse now not to start working on something that the wife wants. So. It's her turn.
Awesome.
Yeah. I've been enjoying it.
Or show the wife how to make it. That's even better.
Yeah. Sometimes. She can paint it. She's the art teacher. She'll paint it when she's done.
There you go. Division labor. Yep.
Yeah.
We have almost the same division labor here. Like painting is my least favorite activity. Just it's not my thing. I'm terrible at it. Like I can't get a smooth surface to save my life. And so I like build stuff, and she's like, great, and just she does like all of the painting and a lot of the finishing work. But the division of labor is great.
And what is your name and where are you from?
Oh, yeah, I'm George, and I live in North Carolina, near West. Yep.
And your channel is?
Technically woodworking.
There you go. You missed the intro part. He wasn't there. I'm like, hey, dude. I sent him a text. I'm like, hey, come and join our podcast meetup. All right, cool.
You know, it's kind of nice seeing faces for all of the digital avatars I've been seeing, you know, whether it's, you know, names in a chat or, you know, digital characters in Minecraft now. So it's nice to officially meet everybody because I didn't know who everybody was.
Yeah, we didn't get to see you at work.
Orbeez in the Minecraft server.
Come next year.
Yeah.
So you mentioned the Minecraft server. I'm not to skip ahead to the topic, which, Wes, do you want to go ahead and throw in the topic?
Good. You're good. We can come back now.
I'm going to have to bail out before you guys hit the topic. I got to put the boy to bed. I'll catch you later. Buddy.
It's one of the pillars. Got to be a dad.
Awesome. Where I go.
See you, man.
Donovan is here. Donovan's mic still does not work. So I want to try something really quick. Donovan, we're going to try to guess what you're saying. So give us a sentence at a time, and then we'll all try to collectively figure out what you just said. Just by looking at you, this is really good podcasting.
I'm so excited. I'm in for this.
In real time. I show hired the fish out not working.
I'm so sorry. So tired of this not working.
No, it's fish.
Oh. You could always just call in. Just...
He tried.
He says. So what have you been doing, Donovan?
He's been working on a Star Wars table where he is building a TIE fighter, I think.
During lunch.
During lunch.
Yes, during lunch.
You're welcome.
Yes, very much. Yes, yes. Just the Donovan voice. Yep.
I hate you, Josh.
I have no more Kool-Aid in my house. Last week, no more. All gone. I don't know what he said. He's moving his face too much.
And then the Kool-Aid man said, oh, yeah.
And busted through his wall.
Yeah. No, I'm trying to let people know what you're saying.
He's doing a service for the community.
Cheeto Borgs.
Definitely Cheeto Borgs.
Yes.
Yes.
Resistance is futile and cheesy.
Okay, so and that's the name of the episode.
Is you know? I don't know.
So, Josh, what were you going to say about Minecraft?
Yes, let's go back.
Okay. So, Wes brought up, like, what are we doing to build up skills during this, like, quarantine social distancing thing? Like, is there something that we've always wanted to do and now we have the time to do it, right?
Yep. Whether it's a creative avenue, or like a recreational thing, or something you want to do with your kids, or just a positive use of the time that you now may or may not have in front of you.
Yeah, if you're a fan of Mike Boyd in the like day one, hour zero kind of thing, like now is the time to like, I my kid jump on the trampoline and I see the trampoline as this unnecessary risk, and I've always wanted to do a backflip on a trampoline. Like, I should take this time to go do a backflip on a trampoline because I don't have anything else really to do.
And then Josh,
I've already solved a Rubik's Cube. Exactly. And then you could say, I died from COVID-19. Unrelated.
Really? Kind of. He's a casual.
Indirectly died from COVID.
But one thing was Nicole and Tori started, or no, George started a Minecraft server. And Wes, as Wes does, collected all the people from all the distant worlds, told them to get on Minecraft, and a lot of people I almost say a lot of people. I scoffed at it. I'm like, what, like with the 8-year-olds? Like, I ain't got time for that. I'm a grown-up. I want to kill stuff. And I went on with the intention of just like stealing people's stuff and messing up their house. Just
because, because your username was?
Josh Breaks Stuff.
I didn't believe that was actually your name.
Yeah, we talked about this last episode. And so I got on sneaking around trying to terrorize people. I stole Nicole's horse. She got upset. Shocker.
I got my horse back, George.
But then you kind of start to kind of get it. It's soothing.
Yeah.
Like, it has no bad guy, really. There's no, like, quest to go accomplish. You're just in this other weird little pixelated world. And I started making my own little house, and I'm like, oh, I put flowers on the house. I can grow some wheat, or I can go dig for, I don't know, whatever stuff that you end up needing. It's a really silly escape, but it's really, really calming. And I find myself going, like, it's late, I need to get off. And I'm like, oh yeah, I said that like an hour ago too. And in the game, you go to bed. I'm like, next time I have to go to bed in the game, I'm going to bed in real life. And I don't. So thank you, George, for starting that. And thank you, Wes. And thank you, Nicole. And thank you, everybody else who's been kind of helping along with this. I don't want to keep like using these pejorative terms, like childish, whatever, silly thing. Like, thank you for that escape, because I would not have tried it if I didn't have nothing to do. And it's actually been kind of helpful.
Yeah, same for me. Like, I was very resistant to even playing it. I mentioned this last week, just in general, just because when it came out, I had other video game related. I worked at a video game company, so I didn't really have time to play games recreationally. And that one seemed like, hey, if I'm just going to make something with that time, I might as well make something tangible or permanent, you know, in real life, like a prop or a program, or like I wanted to be a 3D modeler or a level designer at the time for Epic or another game company. And so that was what I was like directing my energy towards. And then as years progressed, it just looked and seemed more and more like, as Josh alluded, like a kid game. Like, it's one that, you know, all little kids jump on and they make pixelated versions of Yoshi and whatnot. Like, and even reinforce this fact, I had the shirt that Corey is actually wearing right now. I wore that to like Target, and some kid walked up to me, a little snotty nosed kid, and he's like, oh, I love Minecraft too. I built that guy in Minecraft. And I'm just like, I want to punch you in the face right now because your parents are horrible people. And that, you know, I didn't want anything to do with Minecraft for a long time because they just associated pixelated graphics with Minecraft and just all these other things. And so I really didn't have an interest in a lot of people in my extended family and other, you know, friends and stuff. They had children that had poorly curated management skills, like, of their children. So like the children would just like waste all their time, quote unquote waste, and not do schoolwork or something productive. Like, it's not specifically a Minecraft problem, but that ended up being the scapegoat, or like the equivalent of like Warcraft for like, or World of Warcraft for college students, right, where they flunk out of college because they, or Halo or whatever the game is in that generation. So I just really didn't care to look at it. And I knew it did cool techie stuff, like you could build a computer with it, like all the famous examples of extreme things that people made with it. And I just never had the interest to loop back around to it. And then George and Nicole suggested that they're, hey, we're going to play this. And I'm like, well, I got nothing else to do.
Well, I think I was joking that I was playing Minecraft one day, and George is like, well, I can make a server. I'm like, well, this is great.
And then actually it spun off, and I got my daughter to play it, and my wife and my son. I spun up a server locally because I'm a nerd and I like to do that sort of stuff. And I was like, how hard could this be? And it was not hard at all. Nope. And it was an excuse for us as a family to do something together that we had never done before. We never had like a quote unquote, it's basically like a little LAN party with the four of us. Mm-hmm. I scrounged together barely functional computers that would run it. Like, I have different computers around the house, and some are different levels of technical prowess. then others like Samantha has a netbook that shouldn't technically be able to run Minecraft, but it does, and a couple other machines that I could probably tweak and upgrade and get them running. But yeah, it's been great. Like, the kids have loved it, and Grant has never really used a keyboard besides like the little library time at school. He's in kindergarten, so I don't really expect that much out of that. But he was struggling a little bit with the WSAD. It's all PC-based Minecraft, so it's a little bit of a learning curve for those that aren't used to PC gaming with WSAD first-person kind of controls. And he was struggling with it for about 10 minutes, and soon after that he was, like, leaping around on top of mountains and, like, jumping over, like, chasms, and it was pretty impressive. So it's been pretty awesome.
Yeah, so Minecraft has, like, a really big part in me and Terry's, like, life. We actually told each other we loved each other in Minecraft for the first time. Like, that is cool. We love Minecraft.
And what did you say about a certain song? I thought that was cool.
Our wedding. We danced at our wedding to one of the songs from Minecraft.
Like, that's fantastic.
Okay, so we love it.
How old is this server now? When did it start?
The server? Maybe a week or two weeks, maybe?
I think yeah. 2 weeks.
Oh, okay.
So not too terribly old. It's really fun to watch, like, everything that's being built on there. Every instance of Minecraft that I've ever played in just sort of takes a life of its own, and just, it's awesome. Like, everyone is a different experience where you're just, like, hanging out and doing random things with people that you may or may not know. Like, it's, I've really enjoyed all the time on there, like, just hanging out with everybody.
Mm-hmm. I've spent way too much time with George this past week.
I think it's too much George time.
Yeah, I know what that's like.
Well, I remember when we were at work, like when people were still working together. Anthony was like, hey, Nicole is they're live streaming audio only, their Minecraft server. I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about.
I've never live streamed on the clock. Never say that out loud. Yes, kidding. Ma'am. It's fine. No one's watching this.
And we kind of spun around from what we were doing and watched you guys bounce all around, and you kind of gave us like a quick tour. I'm like, this is kind of neat. And you're like, and that's Wes's house over there. I'm like, Wes is in there too? I'm like, oh, well, this could be kind of fun. And so it's old enough to exist when people were still at work together, mm-hmm. whenever that was.
In prior times.
Yeah.
In the olden days.
In the olden days.
Days of yore, right?
Mm-hmm.
So is there any other things that besides Minecraft that it's maybe like a skill or a technique or something that you're thinking maybe using this time to tackle that maybe it doesn't require like a investment of money or a shipment from Amazon that is going to take a week or a month and a half to get to you. Obviously that's going to be a limiting factor, but there's a lot of stuff. Like, has anybody ever tried origami? I know, or just random things, right? Like origami or programming Arduino, if you have one, or writing, like learning Python to make a Minecraft sign, perhaps, that illuminates when people are on the server or something like that.
I actually bought a bunch of like little LED light, like really tiny LED lights and some brass wire to try to teach myself how to solder, because I make Turi do all that stuff because I don't know how to do it. So I really want to do that over this next like time in isolation, just try to figure out how to use the soldering iron and not feel like I'm going to burn the house down.
We're spending a lot more time cooking just because, like, you know, we're getting whatever basic ingredients. And so I've been kind of like what I was doing before this, I was making chocolate donuts that were delicious, I must say. And it's been quite fun to like learn new recipes and try and understand, like, baking is very much a science. Like,
oh, yeah.
It is so specific. I mean, that's been kind of fun.
I love cooking, and seeing a whole bunch of people posting like recipes and stuff online has made my heart happy.
Stomach a little grumbly, but your heart happy.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna all come out of this so much bigger than we came into it.
Oh yeah, for sure.
I'm trying to primarily use the time to work on some projects that I've been had been on the back burner for months. In fact, I have a video that'll be coming out either tomorrow or Saturday, along with two others, hopefully in the next week or so. But then also getting back into Blender for some projects that I need to do for work, but also I want to do personally. And it's, you know, I'm in front of the computer a lot more because I've been live streaming during the day for my students. And it feels weird being in front of the computer so much because I haven't done that in a really long time. So I'm having to force myself to balance with going outside and walking more than I ever have before. It's almost like completely flipping the lifestyle I had before, being constantly on my feet.
Have you noticed like a lot more people outside now?
Than... Yeah, taking walks people I've never seen in the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my neighborhood absolutely is lit. Just lit.
It's Pokemon Go 2.0.
Where you're just searching for other humans.
Yeah.
Six feet.
Yeah. I think I was playing on the server with Wes the other day, and I was sitting by our window, and our window is so close to the sidewalk that every time someone walked by, it looked like someone was walking into my home. And it was like every 2 seconds there's somebody coming by. Too many people out.
We went on a walk today, and there were some people that we had never seen before, and they had this little tiny dog. And we both did, like, we were on the same sidewalk, like me and my five crew and the couple and their tiny dog, and we just, like, walked up, and we both just kind of stopped. And my daughter, like, went to go, like, run toward the dog. We're like, oh, well, hold on. He's like, no, it's okay. And he had one of those, like, little, like, wind-up leashes and just, like, unreeled his dog the appropriate amount of distance so that we could play with it.
Oh. And the dog was a carrier that day.
Now we're all dead.
No, you're all young enough. You're really fine.
No, I don't want to talk about the stupid virus. Nope. I'm going to talk about good things.
Positive stuff. What are you doing with the time?
I am tearing apart that motorcycle. Nice. I got a motorcycle for free.
It's looking good.
It looks like garbage, actually.
But you're making a lot of progress, that's what I mean.
I am taking things off. I'm trying to, like, I forced myself to go, like, I'm not quite sure what this metal component is, but I'm going to take it out. It's rusty and gross. I'm going to take it apart, and I'm going to clean it up. And so that I will, theoretically, eventually, have amassed enough cleaned, semi-functional, I don't know, parts to where it may turn on one day. And so today I took the carburetor apart, and it came with like a little baggie of like little tiny widget, little nubbin thingies. I don't know what they are, but I figured out this one is that one. So I just swapped them out and cleaned it up, got rid of a bunch of rust and painted what I could paint. And now it looks like a thing. And I'm mechanically minded enough because of that ASVAB test we talked about earlier to like understand like these pieces should rub together without friction. This is where fuel comes in. This is where air comes in. But something I've never done before. And I think like all of us in this community are kind of tenacious enough to figure it out. And I would normally, if given the rest of the workload and, you know, how much stuff you have to do during a day, would just walk past it. And now, like, I mean, I'm still working down here in the basement for I like to make stuff. And then I get up and stretch my legs. I walk upstairs and I need to take a break. And I can look at that huge thing. I go, grab a piece. There's many pieces. I might grab a piece and tear it apart. So that's my goal.
It's a good goal.
Yeah, that I'm super excited to see what you do with that bike. That looks really awesome. And I've always wanted to do something like that. I've been into cars for a long time, but I've wanted like a project bike, if that's what you want to call it, for a long time. I don't even know that I would necessarily ride all that much, but I just love motorcycles. They're just so cool. And I have no
idea how to ride a motorcycle.
Right. I've been on one once and I fell and lost a bunch of skin. So I'm good, but, they're super fun to work on. I've worked on a couple of them and, they're just really awesome.
We're super excited to see how it turns out.
Yeah. I have nothing but terrible role models when it comes to motorcycles. Like, I was in the army and everybody crashed it. Everybody looked like a mummy. A lady told my mom that I was going to die on a motorcycle one day. She was a card reader. So, like, there's lots of weird things stacked up against. And I don't believe it. but by all logic, there's no reason I should ride a motorcycle. But I've always wanted to. And so somebody offered to me for free. I'm like, you know what? This is happening. Well, and so every day, I got to go keep making it happen.
Speaking from experience, when you get out to drive it for the first time, make sure there's plenty of room in front of you and don't start about 10 feet from behind a car, a parked car, because you might run into it. Speaking from experience.
Something tells me Seth's run into a car before.
I barely avoided it.
They're really fun, though. When I was like 18, I went to the local Harley-Davidson dealership, and they had a class that you could take. And that was the only way that my parents would let me get a motorcycle, was if I took the class. It's like a safety class.
Yeah.
So that, like, they teach you how. And it was the so much fun. And, you know, hopefully I'll get on a bike again. And so I'm going to knock on wood, but I never fell. I never got a ticket. I was a responsible rider. I didn't ride in the rain. So I'll be a positive role model for you. They're fun and they're safe, and you should do it.
There is I think it's called the Barbecue Bikes and Blues Festival in town. Hmm. If we all can come together eventually one day, if we're all allowed to be near each other again, the town puts on a thing, all downtown. And I should really figure out when this is supposed to happen. But like, that was my goal, was to ride my bike into that thing. And so I have a lot ahead of me.
That sounds like the most Kentucky thing I've ever heard in my life.
That also.
There's probably a bourbon. There's probably another beer in there.
Right, yeah.
Beer, bourbon, and barbecue.
Yeah.
Yep.
Donovan's trying so hard to get that microphone to work.
He is. So far, he's tried using the video chat like you guys are doing. He's tried calling with his phone. You can actually call a number, and I assume their switchboard, quote unquote, is probably overloaded with all the people trying to live stream right now. But in a typical sense, he could have maybe called into the show. There's a phone number that apparently this app gives you, and it was busy. He's tried Skyping me, and I can pipe in the audio into the disc into my OBS system. It's not picking him up there, and he's trying Discord now, and I think that's also not working. So it's time for lack of trying, I think.
I have a feeling. Try turning it off and back on.
He hasn't tried rebooting his computer. Maybe he should try that. I don't know.
If that's what actually does it, that'd be so annoying.
Well, if maybe he should update his graphic card driver, because that randomly solved the problem for me in Minecraft yesterday. I guess it was yesterday. I was playing. I tried to log into the server, and just there was nothing. There was no terrain loaded at all. And then I would, like, after probably 25 seconds, I would time out, and I like couldn't get it to do anything. I did a fresh install. I did all different sorts of things, and then eventually I was able to load terrain. But I couldn't interact with any blocks. Like, I'd be just sitting there trying to pickaxe a bunch of blocks and nothing would happen. Or they would go away, but it wouldn't drop anything. All this craziness. It felt like I fought with it for 10 hours. And then Wes just said, hey, update your graphics card driver, maybe to try something different. I don't know. And I did that and it worked. I don't understand, because
it had been working.
It had been working. It's a super old for technology. It's super old graphics card at this point. And the driver, I think, was dated like 2017, sometime in 2017. It's like, oh, I should probably update that anyways. Updated it to the newest version from 2018. And it totally worked, but I have no idea.
Can't win them all, man.
I have a question for Nicole.
Yeah.
Did you guys decide on a resin printer yet? I know you guys were talking about it.
We actually got a long-term loaner from one of Turi's coworkers. He claimed for the longest time that he had an Elgu. We're like, yeah, we'll love to borrow it. We'd love to just try it out. And we get it to the house, and it's like a Chinese knockoff called Longer. Well, like a Chinese knockoff of already a Chinese knockoff of a printer. But regardless, it works, and it's working really well. So yeah, we have a resin printer that we didn't have to pay for, and just is in my house now. So
score.
Yeah. Are you guys familiar with the YouTube channel Physics Anonymous?
No.
So it's these two guys in a garage, basically. The name of the channel is Physics Anonymous, but they do a bunch of different like machining and prototyping videos and stuff. They restored a lathe. They have a mini mill that's manual. They just converted a different mini mill to CNC. One of the things that they prototyped was for the any cubic photon, a different like a bracket made of aluminum that is normally made of plastic or something like that to increase its rigidity or something like that. Anyways, their most recent video is about that printer, the Longer, and it was a pretty cool little breakdown of about it and what they like about it and what they don't like about it. And it's a really cool YouTube channel in general. They have a great editing style. I like them a lot.
The funny thing about the Longer is that, you know how like the all resin printers come with that like dome over it?
Right.
Well, the Longer comes with like 5 acrylic pieces that you could see all the finger joints for, and it's held together with a rubber band. And I'm just laughing at them. I'm like, what is this? this is ridiculous. I could have made this.
Yeah.
But
it's
hey,
like they wanted it to flat pack, so they like just sent you the 5 different sides.
It's our first try at a resin printer, and we didn't have to pay anything for it, and our friends letting us borrow it as long as we want to. So
that's great.
And like we have all of our D&D minis on that wall over there, so now we're gonna try to make a bunch of like actual like resin ones that are really nice.
Awesome. I have almost bought a resin printer for exactly that recently.
Yeah, we had the Mini V2 from Monoprice for the longest time, and that thing just cranked out minis, and it was a perfect little machine. And then we got a CR10, and it's just replaced the Mini completely.
Yeah, I love that little Mini.
It's so good. It worked all the time.
For $200 bucks, there was nothing better than that printer.
And for what we were doing, which was all D&D minis, it was perfect.
Yeah. I asked because I went over to Bob's the other day, and he set out a hard drive like outside in a quarantine box, and I had forgotten before I left that I was printing this like mecha T-Rex skull.
Nice. Yeah. And
I didn't get to do the bottom because the printers are at his house.
That's the Terminator T-Rex, right?
Yeah. The Terminator T-Rex.
Yep. I've been wanting to make that one.
We're doing a comparison between the Prusa SL1 and the Elegoo Mars. And, It's amazing what you can get out of resin printing now. These are my teeth.
Yeah, those are wild. I love that.
Yeah,
so far we're pretty happy
talking
for
about it. I didn't know if you had landed on one. The
one that we haven't planned to purchase yet, but I think when we do, we're probably going to go with an Elgoo because the Prusa is just, it's still too expensive.
The cleaning, yes. So I think
cleaning station.
The cleaning station is what's up. Hands down.
Really?
Because we had to make our own cleaning station for the Piopoli Moai. And it's you gotta get like the ultrasonic cleaner, and I know you guys have like the nail curing like UV kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I mean you have some stuff that you may not need it, but that thing is the bee's knees. You push 2 buttons and it's like push to wash, you push to cure. It is awesome. We have it sitting in between the 2 printers. And it would be the resin printing would be a dirty, sloppy, gross mess, but that one machine takes care of all of
it. Yeah, but how does this benefit you at all when you can just have a Tupperware full of isopropyl, spin it around, and then just put it in another container? Like, because you have to touch it, you just don't want to touch it.
It works as a system, and yes,
yeah.
So you can do that, no debating that. But when you have the Prusa, it has the build plate. You take the build plate and it slides onto a lid and you stick it down in the thing and it has a spinning, like agitating, like magnetic
turbine
in the bottom. And then you just take it out of the thing, you put it right back down on it. it cures it. It has a heated fan. It rotates it around. It's pretty great.
Yeah, I won't deny it. This looks really cool.
I think Anycubic just released something like that too.
I was looking at an Anycubic one, but then I was just like, I can go to the container store for $6 and get two containers and then call it a day.
Yeah. Like, the ultrasonic cleaner compared to, because we had a tub with just isopropyl alcohol versus an ultrasonic cleaner, like there is a pretty substantial difference being able to get off all that excess resin. I was kind of surprised. Not that one in particular, but like an ultrasonic cleaner in some fashion really does get a lot of that stuff off.
I'm still surprised at how many layer lines I get though on a resin printer. Like that's something that's...
We don't have it set up right.
Is it? We just don't have it set up right. Thanks, so. Turi, for your 2 cents.
I'm the one printing it. I don't know what you're talking about.
The glimpse
this is marriage,
inside.
Folks. Yeah. This is marriage.
Sean, I wanted to ask if you saw that NASCAR is poised to host the largest esports event in history.
Really? No, I didn't see that.
Because they're going to do a race.
Oh, is that where like the gamers are playing or competing against the actual NASCAR drivers?
No, I think it's just the drivers are going to race.
Oh, like, okay.
Each other. Yeah.
No, I mean, they've done exhibitions in the past where they take gamers and put them against actual NASCAR drivers and see that. So I wasn't sure.
I'm pretty sure the drivers actually do train in simulators too, just to like give it a go.
They do. They do in the iRacing simulators, which are absolutely intense. If you ever get the opportunity to sit in one of those with the force feedback wheel, and I've even sat in one with the pneumatically controlled like seat that'll actually move you around. There's a company in town that has like two or three different levels of those seats, and they will bring them out to car events and like just show them off. It's incredible. And they usually bring like a professional driver out with them, and he'll like put down a lap time, and then you can get in and like try to beat his lap time, and you're nowhere ever close because it's like actually driving a real race car, you know, and we're a bunch of plebeians off the street. It's pretty fun. It's pretty fun, but it's a workout. I mean, you get off the thing having, you know, put in a little sweat equity to those things.
What is that system called that you're talking about? The
iRacing.
Okay.
Is the name of the game, I guess, that it uses. I think a couple different people make different products for the actual simulator, but
all right, sounds cool.
Yeah.
So anything else anybody's, you know, doing differently with this time since, you know, whether it's a shelter in place or just social distancing or anything else, or something that you want to get into that you haven't even started yet?
Come on, get inspired here. You know, there's something.
I mean, I've wanted to learn Fusion 360 for a long time now.
Oh, yeah, same. I should probably get on that.
I tried probably 2 years ago or something like that. And when I was in high school, I took drafting classes, like actual pencil on paper drafting classes. And then for my first 3 years, freshman, sophomore, and junior year, I took a basics, an engineering, and an architectural drawing class. And then the fourth year, my senior year, was supposed to be the AutoCAD class. And then there was like not enough interest, or like only four people had like gotten to that point, and school couldn't make the schedules line up, so they just dropped the class altogether, and I couldn't do it. But I have minimal exposure to Autodesk's AutoCAD programming, so I've used that, and I was fairly familiar with that. And I get into Fusion, and I don't know how to describe my frustration, but I guess I'm just it's going from, you know, one system to another. Pressing buttons that I think are going to do something don't actually do that thing, and then I get frustrated and I just quit. So okay. I've tried, but
here and now, Nicole, in exchange for a D&D hand walking game for the I Like to Make Stuff crew, I will offer everybody in this chat right now, say I don't know. We'll talk after we're done recording. I will do a live Fusion 360 hangout.
I would take that as very fair payment.
I'm in for it. Okay. I'll do what I can to help with the D&D too.
Yeah, it's
I'm in for the D&D. You lost the Fusion.
Yeah, that will be good.
Okay, so as what we're geeking out about, I say everybody around the horn, what's the favorite thing that you've watched on Netflix in your isolation period?
Westworld
streaming service of choice. What? I'm sorry, what?
Westworld just came out. Done.
You gotta have HBO. I've wanted to watch that.
It's good. It's good.
Okay.
Don't watch it with your kids. There's a lot of naked people.
Neato.
It's a good time. It's violent nudity.
I haven't been watching too much, but my wife started watching when I was playing Minecraft. So then I started watching with her. Tiger King thing that's on Netflix, which I wanted to ask Donovan about because the guy was running for governor of Oklahoma. Like, I think it was 2017. I didn't know when Donovan moved there, but I was like, man, it's just a crazy show. I don't know how many of you guys are watching it, but this guy, very eccentric. Put it that.
Yeah, all my coworkers are talking about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've been watching the Great British Bake Off. And
with old Greg.
Yeah. And so I know Noel Felding from the Big Fat Quiz of Everything, which is a hilarious show. And my wife turned on the Great British Bake Off, and I was like, wait, what is he doing here? Really confused, and just started watching it. And it is so refreshing. It's like such a change of pace of like American reality cook, whatever. Like it's delightful to watch. It really is.
It's so relaxing.
Yeah. And like the contestants were like helping each other. Like one of them was like struggling at the end and the other was like, what do you need me to do? Looking at her instructions, just like helping and being friendly, not like sitting over there like they're gonna fail. Like,
no. Spitting in their dough or
something. Yeah, exactly. You don't need any of that.
If you watch backward, that guy, Noel, and the lady that's with him, they start like halfway through the series. So like seasons one through, I think, three or four. There's these two ladies
that
do it. And it's so weird. We watched in reverse. And when you get to that point, you're like, who are these two ladies? Like, you guys are not funny. Please go away.
So bad.
Not to other people. Yeah.
Let's see. I've been watching Picard. I still have one episode left, so don't spoil it for me if you've seen it. But that's pretty much the only thing I've been watching during this season. I guess I was watching a lot of CW stuff, but kind of dropped all that this season, this TV season, and I haven't really watched much else.
I started rewatching The Flash on Netflix, but mainly because I was introducing it to my kids. And funny enough, my daughter got really into it. We finished the first season. At the end of the first season, you know, she was like, what? And what's funny is I went up to her room a day or two ago, just kind of like, you know, checking on her. And she has a paper taped to her wall that says, is Harrison Wells still alive?
Oh, my gosh.
And she's eight. So kind of funny hearing her get into it and start questioning it and just trying to, you know, rationalize through all that stuff. So it's been really fun watching, you know, watching it with the kids.
That's cool.
Who else? Who hasn't gotten it? Corey?
So, I finished it, like, the first day of isolation, so you can be the judge of whether it counts or not. But if you have not seen The Chef Show on Netflix, it's phenomenal. For anybody not familiar, it's Jon Favreau.
It's fantastic.
He made a movie called Chef a couple years ago, 2014, I think, or something like that. In which he consulted with a chef, Roy Choi of Kogi Food Truck, and who taught him basically how to cook for the movie. And so this show, they had so much fun doing that, like with the consulting and teaching and everything like that, that they made, it's kind of like a normal Food Network stand and stir show, like you would, you know, see, except it's these two guys who are really quality entertainers, and they bring in all these people. And specifically, I think it's the first episode of the most recent season. They are with Wolfgang Puck in one of his restaurants in Las Vegas, and it's phenomenal. It's an excellent, excellent show.
Cool. Seth?
Oh, I have the Tiger King.
Oh, yeah.
I've got a question, though, because I thought of it while you're going now. Who do you think among here has the most streams of Frozen 2 so far?
Zero.
Ooh.
Never seen it.
No.
Zero.
George, four? Why have you seen it so many times? You don't have children.
Donovan, seven. Yeah, we're probably pretty close right there, Donovan.
We really like the Frozen series, and
George, I really don't like it.
I think the first one was better than the second one.
I agree. But
I'm not against Frozen either.
We may or may not be known to like just bust out and
sing along
while we're cooking in the kitchen, just hanging out. It's, you know. Oh,
Jesus Christ.
I sing it with my 4-year-old, and it is the most adorable thing when
with
she tries
your
to sing
4-year-old.
Yep.
See how
oh, I will
different.
We will dance and we will sing. It is a magical time that she and I have together.
Dude, the honest trailer reviews of Frozen 1 and Frozen 2, excellent. I recommend people checking those out on YouTube. If they like pick apart all the minutiae and also how it should have ended, they have those for Frozen series as well.
Yeah.
They're absolutely hysterical, and they just like super do a deep dive into the nerdy, like, well, you introduced this concept, how come you couldn't use this, and they just go off the deep end. And I think sometimes they write their own songs as like parodies of them, and they're super well done. If some reason someone's never seen any of that stuff, I highly recommend a deep dive into those two channels if there's such a person that does not know about them, which I don't believe is possible.
We actually had a really interesting discussion in the car the other day about who do you think is the main character of the Frozen saga?
Olaf. Anyway.
the credits.
I'm going to ask my daughter that question because I have an answer.
Who's the main character of the saga? I don't know.
And the follow-up question is, who's your favorite character? Right, which?
I got one.
Yeah, go for it.
I would say Samantha from Frozen 2.
Yeah.
And then my daughter's name is Samantha. So if you haven't seen the movie, there's a reference to that. And she freaked the H out, and the F out and the S out. I mean, she just freaked out when that happened multiple times. Cause they basically called, they did like a name, like a shout out to her. And she was like, oh, he's talking to me. Oh my gosh. And then it happened again, like several, you know, and then she wore, because basically in the movie, Olaf is looking for all the characters. Olaf, or he's like, you know, Anna, Elsa, Sven, Samantha. And he's like, wait, I don't know Samantha. What? Have you seen Samantha? And then like he brings it up later on. So when we went to Disney World, she had a shirt that I bought on Etsy, got it for Christmas, and it had the same lines. It said like, you know, Sven, Elsa, Anna, da da da, and it said Samantha at the bottom with a question mark. And she got so many like comments from cast members and other people walking by. She thought she was hot stuff. It was pretty sweet. It was awesome. But besides that, I would say Sven is my favorite character.
Yeah.
Donovan, what have you been watching? I'm going to try to get it. Okay, I'm holding on.
Oh, he just teleported.
He disappeared.
His internet is a little bit laggy as well, so this
maybe it's the show. Maybe it's the show, The Invisible Man.
There it is. Nailed it.
He's back. He's holding up something blurry.
Star Wars, maybe?
1917.
Oh, yeah, there it is. It's okay.
Fantastic.
That was a very good movie. Very good.
It's very, very excellent.
I still haven't
seen it. I saw it in space. I think it's what it is.
He saw it in space.
Well,
it's like pro level charades when your camera keeps messing up.
Mm-hmm. My wife and I watched Jojo Rabbit. Have you guys seen it?
No, but I super want to.
It's pretty great.
Okay.
So, like, at face value, it's like a little kid in the Hitler Youth, and he has an imaginary friend who is Adolf Hitler. But it's hilarious. And the whole movie is really good. People are learning. People are growing. It's funny. It's Taika Waititi. The director of
Ragnarok.
Taika.
Yep.
Such a good movie. You should go watch it because it's great. It's a roller coaster of emotions. It's funny. It hits you in the feels. It makes you feel good about life.
Was it on Netflix?
No, we rented it.
Okay.
On Amazon Prime. I think it was $5 or $6.
Worth it.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'd buy it. I'd rent it or whatever.
Yeah, it's good.
Why do you ask, Josh? No reason?
Huh?
Oh. No reason. Nothing. I thought there was a lead into this question for some reason.
No, that was what everybody was watching during isolation.
Fair enough.
Yeah, that was it. In lieu of geeking out, because I imagine that we could go on for hours about things that we're geeking out about.
Absolutely.
So I think it's about that time.
Yeah, I agree.
And that time meaning that it's time for us to talk about the website and how you can get a hold of all of us. Through the website, there's a contact page there where you could email us about the show and give any suggestions that you have. And on the homepage of the site, you could listen to all of our past episodes in the browser there on makinggeeks.com.
And all of us are on social media. You can find our channels. That was me.
Keep going, George.
All of us can be found on social media. Donovan over at Once Upon a Workbench. Wes.
Yeah.
Over on
Geeksmithing.
Geeksmithing.
You live next to him.
Sean over on Geek Builders. Sorry.
This is again par for the course.
Josh on his own channel of
Josh underscore make stuff.
Make stuff and his work with Bob I like to make stuff. And I think that yes.
Good job, Donovan Standen. And I'd like to take this opportunity to thank our patrons over at patreon.com who a lot of you guys are actually here in this chat. Super awesome. Thank you guys so much for your support. We really appreciate it, including our top patron, who is actually not here. He's probably working very hard. Square Splinter, thank you for your patronage, sir. We appreciate it.
I would like to thank all you guys right here that, in the live chat, we can see your faces and we can actually say your names and say thank you for hanging out with us. I know we have a lot of regulars during the live chat. It's on YouTube. This is a little different. Man, I don't really look at the comments on YouTube, so it was kind of cool to have this nice, big, social distance, long-form conversation. We really appreciate it. And for everybody else who wasn't here, Nana Boo Boo, you missed out. We may do this again, depending on how long we're all quarantined.
But I think we should.
You can listen to this. Yeah, this was a good time. You can listen to this episode every Saturday on your podcast player of choice. And from all of us from all over the place, we all collectively hope you all have a fantastic week.
See you guys.
Have a great week. Stay safe.
Yay.
Tommy says, bye, horsey, monkey,
I think he said monkey in there. What? That's weird.
I'm good at translating, Donovan.
You're very good at it.
Merit badge.
I don't like people. Oh, hey, I got a notification that the podcast is live, guys. You should go check it out.
Yeah, I've been on that. It's kind of overrated.
Are you really taking my horse?
I'm riding the horse.